Let us pray. Gracious God, let your Holy Spirit give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know the hope that Christ has called us to, and that we might, as believers, become aware of Christ's power in us. Amen. The first scripture reading is from Psalm 103, verses 8 to 13. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carla. This morning, we're going to turn to the book of Romans once more. Our second scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in the honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor for the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live for ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. We live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us is accountable to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, our rock and our sustainer, we turn to you as our Lord. May you have that place in our lives, and may we learn to recognize what it means to be accountable, what it means to be judged by your precepts and your ways, and what it means to be humble before all of this. Lord, we ask that you would free us from the need to judge others, and that we would be liberated as people who are honoring you in all that we do. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever, O Lord. Amen. So friends, today we are going to wrap up our series, our short series on house rules for the faithful, and end also our months-long study of Paul's letter to the Roman church. We have meandered through this study over the summer, making our journey home into the heart of Christ, and a home where we can be our full selves, received in Christ, a home into the place where we can stand on a firm foundation of grace that leads to justice and restoration. Now, next week, we're going to move to a study on the parables and prophets of the Bible, both of which offer a strong word of truth to a world that has become untethered. But before we do that, we have to end with the final house rule today: humility. Bound together, we act as a people living under the rules of love, grace, and humility. When we learn to embody these rules together, we model the way of Christ and grow stronger in our witness, a witness that speaks a different word to a hurting world. Now, you might be looking at our text and say, well, I don't find the word humility in here. Rather, our reading from the book of Romans focuses on judgment. And as I'm sure you are aware, whenever you get into close community with other people, it's easy to start judging certain behaviors in others. Or even among strangers, we are quick to judge, calling something better or worse, acting as if we know the definitive way to live. We're prone to descend into ridicule and contempt with each other. We're apt to hold judgments in our minds, even on a subconscious level, because in the positive, these categories help us to understand the world and shape how we interact. Judgments make us able to react, inform who we trust, and serve to protect our lives. But in the community of Jesus, rather, we are invited to yield this judgment for another way. The way I see it, underneath this caution against judgment is another sweeter way, the way of humility. Now, mind you, the person who is quick to call themselves humble is one to be leery of. You know, one of my strengths, everyone, is that I'm super, super humble. I'm definitely not judgmental, like so-and-so over there. I hope you're laughing at home, because really? Rather, the one who embodies humility might be the one who questions whether they could be humble at all. They're the ones who have an accurate self-assessment of the struggle to be humble, to not judge, to hold hope for the other who is different than them. Just like the narcissist would never think of themselves as a narcissist, perhaps the humble ones are the ones who fear they would never be humble. Okay, so our text today looks at judgment. And it's around some particular issues within the church. First, there's a conversation about what we eat. There appears to be some quarreling going on and judgment of differing practices. Now, this is nothing new to the church community, and it's something that we have continued to struggle with even to today. And it makes sense. For these Roman Christians, many of whom were Jewish people living in the diaspora, spread out, it was a certain part of their cultural heritage to be particular about practices regarding food. And in this new configuration of the Christian way, they have discovered that there is a wide berth given by God. Verse 3 speaks of that grace so beautifully. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Rather than passing judgment on each other, the church community is instructed to trust that God has welcomed each of them, and they are accountable to God. A second issue in this text is around which day is better than another. Now, of course, I have a preference for Saturdays. I also like Mondays, and I like Thursdays. And Sundays are great because we all get to gather and worship together. Now, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, they're not my favorite, I guess. And Fridays, those could go either way because it depends on how much yard work I have to do. So, you know, I have different preferences for different days. But all kidding aside, the judgment about what day is appropriate is likely to be about when to practice the Sabbath. As we remember from our series on rest last month, it's less important about when you practice the Sabbath than it is about actually doing the practice itself. And yet we find this community prone to judgment once more because the desire is there that they get it right. Some people are practicing the day correctly, honoring the Lord rightly, and others are not. And here we get into issues around what might be orthodox, what is right practice. And certainly there are some clear teachings on right practices regarding daily practices of worship and food intake, but that's not the point here. The point is to encourage each other to practice, not judge about how and when the practice is being done. Now, friends, we are people on the way. And like the Roman church, there are some of us who may be able to take this more fluid approach, releasing judgment. And there are others of us for whom it is more comfortable to have strict rules and ways of being. It is not weak to need definition to order our lives. And it is not strong to look down on another for how they practice. Romans 12 gives us a framework, if we look back in the letter, about what it means to live lives new in Christ. Here, Romans 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, prophecy in proportions to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. At the heart of this teaching is the truth that God is Lord of our lives, and God alone. We are accountable to God and God's judgment, absolutely. And it is out of the abundance of God's goodness that we are received into this community with one another. And it is God's grace alone which holds it all together. So friends, let's let God be God and stop judging each other. Okay? Agreed? But wait. But wait, you ask. What about wickedness? What about empty, evil ways? Is this teaching here ultimately about live and let live, or you do you, or to each their own? No. If you remember last week's text, we were instructed in the way of grace that sets aside the works of darkness. When we enter into the family of God, we are to put on the armor of light and walk forward. That is the context of these teachings on judgment. A people who have already agreed to love and grace are then instructed not to judge, but rather to practice humility Should we speak up about evil? Absolutely. As God's people, we are charged with acting on behalf of the oppressed, to stand for justice, to resist wickedness. And we must be cautious not to let go of this responsibility out of a desire not to judge. Rather, acting for justice is bolstered by humility. Resisting evil and untruth and the wickedness we see in the world, this takes humble acts of loving kindness. I say humble because to be willing to speak up and resist evil takes a heart that has been humbled by the reality that we all falter and fail, and yet also a heart that will not settle for that brokenness. Humbled hearts in community resist evil. They resist the haughtiness of being the know-it-all. They resist the power-grabbing, taking position and authority over another. At the beautiful center of this teaching, and at the heart of our house rules of love, grace, and humility, is the celebration of the diversity of God's people. When we practice these rules, we come to be aware of the mosaic of representations of the image of God that we all bear. We find unity, but not unity in uniformity. Instead, we find unity in diversity. So, how does this come home to us as the community of Jesus at St. James Presbyterian Church? Today, friends, I want to encourage you to live into these house rules. First, love one another. Expect the good in each other and honor it. Celebrate it, encourage it. Love one another despite our faults, despite our differences. Love and seek to make each other better, lifting each other up. Second, offer active, radical, deep grace. None of us are going to be perfect. We are going to bother each other. Extend grace, because we are all doing our best to get by. We need grace because when we extend it, it will lead to the life that we are leading together. It will help us to weather the harder times, the storms. It's so easy to offer a harsh word or a judgment in response to someone not doing it the right way or opposing us. And friends, I implore you, instead offer grace. Receive the other as a friend, and let's all help each other heal. And third, let us be humble. While grace is offered to the other, humility is something we can cultivate in ourselves as we are accountable to God alone. I don't have it all figured out, and you don't either. Humbly, I strive to see the way of God and how God is forming you and how God is forming me, teaching you and teaching me. I will expect that we are all on the way, deeper and deeper into the home of Christ's love. It's not an easy time in our world. To say that it feels as though things were burning, both literally and structurally, is truth. There will be calls to action, cries of judgment, and finger pointing. But friends, as the church, can we model another way? a way of love and grace and humility at the very core of who we are. As the world changes, as we reconfigure our lives, what better moment for us to take stock and claim these house rules for ourselves and our church? There's a new day coming, a day of God's restoration. And we, the church, will live in anticipation of that day by practicing these rules: love, grace, and humility together. May it be so. Let's pray. Oh God, we ask that you would write these rules upon our hearts, that you would help us live into this way of love and grace and humility, all a part of the way that you taught us to live. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness when we fall. We ask that we would have a measure of grace for others around us as they fall, and that through our work together, we would lift each other up and keep walking along together. Lord, to say that it is smoky and burning all around us and that we are still yet walking in those clouds of haze and unclarity, Lord, to say that would be to speak the truth of this time. Lord, we ask that your sweet wind of grace, love, humility, and peace would blow through our world, and that it would change us, Lord. It would rewrite our hearts in order that we might be a model for the whole world of your more excellent way. We come before you humbly, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.